going to start this sermon series on what did Christmas mean to these Christians in the Bible, and we're going to look at Eve today in those stories. So first of all, if anyone's drawing, and or kids especially, if you've got a drawing idea, then firstly, you've got this Garden of Eden, which is an incredible image. In fact, my parents were there, I think it was their wedding, got a gift of a painting of the Garden of Eden. So already it's an incredible image. So if you want to draw it, draw all the animals you can think of, living and working together, and all the fruit trees and plants you could imagine. But there is a problem. Oh yeah, there is a problem. Humans aren't in that garden anymore. So maybe draw them getting kicked out of the garden, as we see at the end of 3. Maybe one last image, if you've got one. Draw Jesus surrounded by animals and plants. He always has a Garden of Eden going on around him. Just for anyone else, we know that this is the case, because when Jesus was born, this is a really cool thing as well for kids, if you want to draw this. In the book of Job, it says that a unicorn will serve Jesus when he's born at his manger. Although some translate it as ox, but obviously unicorn's much cooler. So that's obviously the animal it was. So animals always served Jesus. And in that desert scene, animals came and served him afterwards. Anyway, those are the images. We get kicked out of gardens. Jesus makes them always around him. Those might be fun images. So let's have a look at this story. First, we might want to ask, do we ever wonder how evil exists in the world in the first place? Why does it have to exist in the first place? Why can't all humans just get along? Why can't we do that? Or maybe for some people, they've wondered, why is it that life is always so hard? Why does it always have to be so tough? And getting anywhere requires so much effort or shortcuts. And then finally, there's another maybe question we think of, which is, why do humans die at all? Why do we age? Why is it something that our bodies do? Because one thing that's weird is, if mums can make young people, then why do we age? If we can make youth in that sense, if we can make life, why can't we hold on to it? Why do we start running out of life? Well, the Bible says all those things that we think, those are true. Humans are evil and we will always be doing it. The Bible also, in those promises we'll see later in chapter 3, says life is out to get us. It is against us. The world hates us. And finally, we start to die because of this event in Genesis. So that is what we're looking at in the book of Genesis. We want to see what went wrong, why we started to die in the first place. Because humans were made to actually live forever. So let's look at this book of Genesis, which it's the very first book in the Bible, and it starts at the very beginning. The very first verse of the book of Genesis is, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis begins as the world begins. And those first two chapters follow how the Lord formed the universe, creating light, creating the sky, dry land and seas, and later how God fills them with birds, animals and fishes. But in chapter 1, verse 26, God says, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness." God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. So, God made Adam and Eve, who are these first humans ever. And when they were made in the beginning, they were made to walk with, the Lord God, to look after and rule over this incredible new world with him, and to go wherever they wanted and eat from anything in the garden. It was all theirs apart from one thing. Genesis chapter 2, verse 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free." Amazing first three words to say to your creation. You are free to eat from any tree in the garden. But you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat from it, you will certainly die. So the Garden of Eden had at its centre a tree that humans were not allowed to eat from. Adam and Eve had only one rule to follow: don't eat from that particular tree. But something goes wrong in Genesis chapter 3. Let's look at it. In our first line, we meet a snake. One that wanted to tempt humanity, us, away from the living God. We've been newly made to work with God, co-rule with him, and the devil immediately wants to stop that, separate us from him. This enemy wanted us to start doubting the Lord that made us. Look at verse 1. Now the snake was more crafty than any wild animal. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" And this shows how this enemy works through manipulation. And this enemy, this snake, is actually the devil. And it's important that his first move was to make it sound like he was on our side, like he was our friend. And then the devil's next move is to play on our selfishness, our sin, our pride, our jealousy, our arrogance, all of that he plays on, which, as we know, the devil himself uses and is fed by. But anyway, look at verse 4. "You will not certainly die, for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God." The devil made Adam and Eve turn against God. And that last line is especially hurtful because God just gave humanity life, authority, and even made them to look like God. Satan saying, "And you'll be like God." They look like him already. Humans were made in his image. That's why that's so bad, is God had done all that for humans and it still wasn't enough. And as we see, Adam and Eve eat of the one tree they weren't supposed to. And immediately, Adam and Eve realise their mistake and hide from the Lord God. This, for me, is what makes this event so hard, is this next verse, verse 8. It says that the Lord God was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Adam and Eve weren't made and forgotten about. They shared every day with their God who walked with them. Maybe he even was walking through the garden to meet them, to find out what they were going to do with the day, what they had achieved. They met their maker every day. And that's why that's so tough, that verse, for me. Especially as we read on what happens. Because for the first time, Adam and Eve didn't run to Jesus. Instead, they hid. For the first time, they didn't feel safe around him. And obviously, God could see them, because in verse 8, he calls out to the hiding humans. And they replied in the next verse, "If the Lord was really searching for them, I think replying would be a stupid thing to do." No, Jesus knew exactly where Adam and Eve were, but he wanted to understand why they were hiding for the first time ever. And then the Lord finds out that we broke the only rule. We ate from the one tree we shouldn't have. And these first these first humans, in verse 12 and 3, start to throw blame. Adam and Eve didn't want to take responsibility. They didn't want to ask for forgiveness. And that was their worst and last mistake. I always wonder what had happened if we'd just come to the Lord then and said, this is what we've done. Please forgive us. Help us. We don't know. After that, after they've, well, not confessed their sins, after they've thrown the blame, Jesus gives these punishments, the consequences of what eating that tree meant. And he gives it to the devil as well. The devil gets his curse, like us. So eating from that tree, that forbidden fruit, would mean death. And we ate from it. And that's what happens in those punishments. But now we come to the focus of this Sunday, because two amazing things happen. Firstly, the Lord God promises that there will be a child, an offspring, born to Eve that is going to defeat the devil. That's in verse 15. He makes this promise of a kid that's going to defeat the devil. That's amazing, but there is one other thing to see. In verse 20, and we didn't cover it, but you might want to give it a glance. In verse 20, Eve is named the mother of all living. That's a bit strange. Why isn't she called the mother of all the dying? After all, that is the curse humanity just got. We were full of life, now we're not. Why is she given that incredible title of life? And we'll look at that later. But also, why is that promise only given to her? Why isn't Adam the father of all the living? Or why is the child not promised to him as well? The Lord God has just promised that there will be a child born only of the woman, not of the man, and this promise gave Eve hope. This coming child will give us back our life, solve this curse, and fix everything that went wrong in Eden. Eve is the mother of all the living because this coming child will be full of life. This is the first promise of Christmas. Jesus is that child that's just been promised. Jesus was born of a woman, but not of a man. Jesus is able to battle the devil when we couldn't, and we saw, we read that, we'll look at it again. And Jesus did defeat death. Jesus did prove he was full of life when we weren't. Eve's hope was that this coming Jesus child would finally fix the mess her and Adam made, succeed where they didn't. And if we now fast forward thousands of years to the book of Matthew, which we read earlier, Jesus, this promised child, has arrived. But we want to ask the question, is this really the guy that Eve was looking for? Well, Jesus gets baptized before he starts his ministry, before he starts going around preaching, teaching and healing. But one of the first things he does is he gets led into a wilderness and he goes there alone. And here something incredible happens. Adam and Eve were tempted by the devil, and because they didn't resist him, all of humanity was exiled. We were kicked out. But this Jesus exiles himself in order to face the enemy that started it all. Back in the beginning, when we faced the devil and lost, there were some very important things that Jesus is like going against here. So when Eve faced the devil, She wasn't alone. Adam was right there, as we read, and he didn't do anything, but they weren't alone. Jesus was. And Jesus is hungry and in a desert. But Adam and Eve were surrounded by food. They had all the food they could imagine or want. And finally, Jesus never gave up. Even though Adam and Eve barely survived one conversation. So, Jesus begins his earthly work by undoing the fall, by fixing things in order. So, what did Christmas mean to Eve? She was looking forward to Jesus being born because he was going to fix all the mistakes her and Adam had made. Humanity needed someone to rescue it, and that is who Jesus is. Christmas for Eve was about the kid who could solve everything in life. And Jesus being born was the end of our shame and her shame, our dying and our exile from the living God. And so Eve, we might want to think on that just finally. Eve waited thousands of years for that Christmas event. But can we wait even a month? The final, I won't cover these, but these really cool as well, is as you read that end of Genesis 3, there are more promises which Jesus fulfills, more reasons we see why Eve was looking forward to that Christmas. And one reason we covered in Matthew, those previous verses, is humanity was led away from God. We left God. But when Jesus comes, he is God. And we saw at his baptism, everybody comes to Jesus and loves him. God loves him, we love him, and through him we can actually come back to that Eden we were kicked out of. So that's what Christmas meant to Eve.